This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد Again, I'll do it one more time as a housekeeping, a few housekeeping points. Inshallah ta'ala, we will always fill this area here before we even, I know it's the carpet there is softer, but you pray here first because you should be behind the imam unless you have a good reason for it, as I explained. In order to be in front of the imam, according to the Maliki madhab and to one of the opinions for Imam Shafi'i, one of the opinions of Imam Ahmad, you require there to be a reason for it, which is the extent you can't extend backwards, you have to extend forwards. So in order for that to work, you have to fill off this area first. Just because a few people asked if they could just go because it's quieter. No, you need to be here behind first, but this will fill up quick enough, so you're good. But just as a reminder, inshallah ta'ala. And the second thing is that we will, the last piece of this masjid that will fill up will be the hallway. Try to leave that till the end if possible so people can move to the bathrooms and there's a little bit more, it's not a fire exit hazard. And if people need to use it, then they need to use it. Obviously, we don't want to send anyone away. But just kind of a reminder. Another thing is that when the imams or the qaris are reciting, we have a system in place to correct them. So I know it's hard to resist the urge to correct them when you're reading with them or you know the surah, but please resist it. Because the qari, when they're reciting and 50 people yell out the mistake, it's very disturbing, it's very disrupting for them. It's hard to, it's very difficult to stay focused when that happens. So we have a system in place where we will correct the person in a way where inshallah it'll keep them focused and allow them to continue. I appreciate, obviously, people wanting to participate and all. Jazakumullah khair, barakallahu feekum. But when it comes to this piece specifically, especially that most of the leaders for this year, I'm just doing Isha basically and Witr, that's it. It's going to be the younger people who we're trying to train, inshallah. This masjid was, this is my intention of what I'm trying to do here, is to train people, is to offer as much education as humanly possible and to train people to be leaders, inshallah, in the future. And that requires patience from everyone around and participation from everyone around in the form of allowing people to make their mistakes and do what they need and continuing to stick with them. Last piece before I go on, inshallah, with the halaqah, the lecture, is that what we do is, so if you're used to praying just eight and you're hoping to make it, to get it till the end, what I would recommend is you pray eight and then sit out 9 and 10, like sit down and just listen to the, and then pray al-shafa' al-witr, which is 11 and 12 and 13. That way, you get a little bit of a break, and at the same time, you don't miss out on witr and the dua that comes with it. This is what I advised people last year. Some people did it, and they found it helpful. If it's too heavy for you to go through the whole thing, then pray eight, maybe sit out the next four, listen, and then join for the join the shafa' and the witr, which is the three rak'ahs at the end. All right, so the intention of this halaqah this year, which is different than maybe the last 4 years, if you've been kind of following along with what I've been doing, instead of going through the surah summaries by just taking a surah every day and summarizing what it's talking about and explaining the themes within the surah, I'm going to talk about the verses that are going to be recited in prayer once we're done. Just to maybe help you along with the connection and understanding what the Qur'an is, what the recitation is talking about. And then choosing maybe certain verses. I put a lot up there. This is very difficult, actually. It turned out to be extremely difficult. This has been very, very hard because it's impossible. I just don't know what to. So I'm ending up with maybe 45 verses per juz'. And this is me being like conservative, like not wanting to talk about this. No, and then I have to break them down a little bit more. And then I have to break them down a little bit more. And then I have to, because we're getting through three or four tops or five maybe within a session. So it's actually very difficult to know what to leave because I don't want the impression to be that, well, he left out that. No. I'm not leaving anything. I'm just choosing verses. Everything in the Quran is worthy of reflection and contemplation. I'm just choosing verses to share with you some meanings and help you maybe understand the juz'. That's all this is. So we're still in Surah Al-Baqarah. This surah, the beginning of the Quran, we have the Sab' al-Tiwal, that's the first cluster of surahs from Al-Baqarah to At-Tawbah. Sab' al-Tiwal, as they're called, the seven long ones. And they tell the story of deen in general. They tell the story of religion, not just our religion, of all religion, of how it works. And it starts out, Surah Al-Baqarah, with the basic piece, which is, what your role is, who you are, and how you're going to achieve your goal. Your Khalifa, that's your description in terms of what you're supposed to be here, what you're here to do. And then how you're going to achieve it is the rest of Surah Al-Baqarah that tells it, gives you the methodology of life. Here's the ahkam. Here's how you're going to do it. Here's the values, and here are the practices, which is what we're going to recite today. Most of what we're going to be reciting today is going to be the second piece, where it's not talking about the job description or the examples of who did it well or who didn't do it well, but rather the actual ahkam. That's why we're going to find verses that talk about hajj and siyam and salah and talaq and zawaj and riba. You know, the financial system goes into the social system, goes into every system of life, Surah Al-Baqarah. You're like, why is it all over the place? It's not all over the place. It's not all over the place at all. It's just explaining to you, here's your job, here's what you're going to use to achieve it. And then Surah Al-Imran will come with a very different approach. As you'll see, you'll find none of that. Read Al-Imran. Show me one verse that talks about hajj, or siyam, or salah, or any act of fiqh at all. Nothing. Because that's not its goal. So that's what you need to understand as you go through the Quran. Every surah is trying to explain something, and they're telling a story with their continuation, if you go along. So we're still in Surah Al-Baqarah. We're going to be hearing a lot about the manhaj, about the methodology of Islam, which is what we're going to use to achieve our goal as khulafa. I'll start with ayah 165, which is what I want to reflect upon. Jazakallah khair. Maybe let's hear it. Go ahead.
وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ ولو يرى الذين ظلموا إذ يرون العذاب أن القوة لله جميعا وأن الله شديد العذاب.
جزاك الله خير. It's like you're reading from another universe. I know. So what's going on there with the delay. So this ayah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. And you'll find amongst people who will choose for themselves associates with God whom they will love similar to the love that they should love Allah. يحبونهم كحب الله. والذين آمنوا, and the believers أشد حبا لله. They love Allah more than anything else. And then the verse continues to describe a specific thing that will happen on the Day of Judgment. But that wording within Surah Al-Baqarah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كُحُبِّ اللَّهِ, is very revealing. Because it's not necessarily talking about idols. It's talking about anything that you choose to love similarly to the love, or similar to the love that you have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything. Think of anything in your life that you have given weight and value similar to the weight and value that you should be giving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you gave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That thing that you love similar to your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the nid, is the andadan that the surah is talking about. We commonly misinterpret or misunderstand what is being said in the Quran, and we believe that andadan, okay, that's talking about associates with God, shuraka, that must mean hubal and uzza and manat and the other stuff. Maybe for a certain generation, but not for every generation, and not for every group of people across the planet. Not everyone sees it that way. Many people will have different things that they love, similarly to their love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people will love their themselves more than they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people will love their possessions more than they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people will love their career or their profession or their reputation more than they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people will love, there's a lot of things that you can love similar to the love that you will give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the believers, is what the ayah says. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, no, أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. They love Allah more than anything. They love no one or nothing more than they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what this verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the midst of this explaining your role and explaining the methodology, in the middle of it, you find this ayah that's reminding you, by the way, it's based on love. It comes back, it comes down, it fizzles down to love. What do you love the most? What do you give the most love to? That's something that you choose. If you choose to love something similar to the love of Allah, that's your choice. But and some people do that. What's the ayah saying? Some people do that. But the believers don't. The believers love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above their love for anything else. Which is why we're here right now. Which is why every year we get this opportunity where we come to this place and we pray and we try. If we don't have it, if for some reason it doesn't exist, we find a way for it to exist. We find a way for it to exist inside of our hearts where we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. And the reason I talked about this ayah is because this is a big complaint I get from people. They tell me I can love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I can love the Quran, I struggle with this one. I want to, but I struggle with it. Very good. Very good. You can't fix a problem that you don't diagnose. You can't fix a problem that you're not willing to actually come out and say, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how do I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it just a feeling? Is it just action? Is it a combination of both? What exactly is it? And that's inshallah what we'll be talking about more and more throughout the month. Can you, someone read the ayah number 177, please? Not the whole thing, just the first four or five words.
ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر.
It's a long verse, so you can go and recite it. 177 in Surah Al-Baqarah. He says, what's bir? Bir is the best you got. That's what bir is in Arabic. Bir is the best you have. Whatever it is that you have in terms of ethics, morals, values, behaviors, practices, whatever the best of that is, that's what bir means. That's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to treat our parents, He uses that word, right? Bir al-walidain. Because when it comes to your parents, you bring your A game. Bring the best you got, whatever it is. So He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبِلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Bir is not when you turn your faces to the east and the west, and He's referring to the act of taslim and salah. He's saying, this is not bir. When you're praying and you end your prayer, that's not bir. It's obviously important. Obviously, you need to pray your five prayers and your sunnah and your taraweeh. But that's not bir. And then he actually explains, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِرِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. So he says, bir is when you truly believe in Allah and the hereafter, in His angels, in the books, and in the prophets, and then you give from your wealth for His love, ala hubbihi, because you love Him, you give the wil qurba, those who are related to you, wal yatama, the orphans, wal masakin, the needy, wabna sabil, those who are stranded, was sa'ilin, those who are asking for it, wa fir riqab, and those who are held or incarcerated, wa aqama as-salah, wa ata az-zakah, wal mufuna bi'ahdihim idha 'ahadu. وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ. Someone who established properly prayer. You can say, he just said a second ago, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّ وُجُوهَكُمْ. Yeah, he said, it's not about the mechanics. Just doing that and just moving our head back and forth in salah, not thinking about anything, that's not bir. Bir is when you have certain concrete belief and you give your wealth to the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to give your wealth to. And you establish your prayer the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to establish it. And you give your zakah the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to give it. And you, وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ, and you're a man of your word. You're a person of your word. Once you give your covenant, once you promise, I will see this till the end, I am in this all, I'm all in, then you will do that until the last moment of your life. And you will persevere when things are difficult, when things are hard. And when it's scary, وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Those are the ones who are truthful and honest. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. And those are the ones who are pious. This is what this surah is saying. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ. It's a very scary one, this ayah is saying that, because that's how it's kind of, I feel like it's talking to me. Yes, you're praying and you're moving back and forth. Salaam alaikum. You're doing it. But this is not bir. You want bir? Show me certainty of your belief. Show me the love that you have in your heart that will cause you to give. Show me the establishment of your prayer, the establishment of your zakah. Show me the keeping of your covenants with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Show me the perseverance when things are difficult. That's what birr is, because that's the best you can bring. And this is one of the heavyweight verses in the Quran. Scholars that study usul talk about this ayah as one of the most important verses in the Quran that establish Islamic character and Islamic behavior. And I thought it's important for us to share. The third group up there, I'm not going to ask anyone to recite them because you've heard them a lot. The verses of Siyam. This is where the verses of Siyam exist in the Quran. To add to that, let me add, this is the only place you'll find Siyam talked about in the Quran. This is where Siyam is talked about. There's nowhere else. Go look for it. That's why every single Ramadan, whoever's on that minbar, same verse. Ya أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل. We have nothing else. There's nothing else. There's no other. I can go to the ayah in surah. No. What surah? It's only in al-Baqarah. And it's only here. Where he talks. In the surah al-Baqarah, establishing the methodology, he talks about siyam. You don't need more than once. He'll explain to you more than once. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Once you witness the month, then you fast it. But the point I want to bring out from these beautiful verses that talk about the methodology of the purpose of siyam is what he says at the end of those verses. Just, it's all within the verses of Siyam, because the last one is أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ. At the night of Siyam, it's halal for you to eat and drink and to have relations with your wives, because some of them didn't know if it was acceptable or is it a full month that we're off the grid completely. But in between these verses, you find وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. In the midst of these verses, as he talks about Siyam being obligatory and Ramadan must be witnessed and must be fast. And then the verse after that was halal, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيِّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ. It gives you the hukum, how to observe for Fajr, how to look for Maghrib, what to do, what's halal, what's haram. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. These are the rulings of Allah. Don't. Between all of that, right in the middle, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. And if my servants ask you about me, if they may not care. My servants may not care, so they'll never ask you about me. But if they care, if for some reason they care about me enough and they ask you about me, instead of saying فَقُلْ, then tell them this, he removes the Prophet ﷺ as a medium. He removes him, doesn't even, he oversteps the Prophet ﷺ, overpasses him immediately. What should have happened, if they ask you, فَقُلْ, then say this. No. Every other verse in the Quran is like that. يَسْأَلُونَكَ قُلْ يَسْأَلُونَكَ قُلْ. The whole Quran, except this one. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ. Almost, linguistically, it almost is a bit difficult to explain. It's almost hard to explain in Arabic. And the only explanation for it in Arabic is what I'm telling you right now. Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on purpose, wanted to surpass the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And as if once you ask the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam about him, he will come and speak to you immediately. He's not going to tell the Prophet to tell you anything. He's going to come to you. He wants to communicate with you directly because he wants you to communicate with him directly. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, he says, I am indeed very near. I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I will respond to the supplication of the supplicator when they supplicate. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Three times, دَعْوَة, دَاعِ, دَعَانِ. All same root. I'll respond to the supplication of the supplicator when he supplicates. No medium. It's always, if I'm telling somebody something through someone, that's hearsay. To a certain degree, the second degree knowledge, right? The second degree knowledge. This ayah here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they're asking about me, are they asking about me? Huh? I find this piece just overwhelming. If, what do you mean if? But who can afford not to ask about you, Ya Rab? Who can afford to go through life and not ask about you? He's saying, but if they do, no, I don't want you to answer, I'll answer. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I'm right there. I've always been. I always will be. And I'll respond to every time you supplicate, I'll respond to you. So what do we do? فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, respond to me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, may they have that concrete belief in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, that's the way they'll find their, that's how they're going to find their path. Rushd is finding the straight path, is figuring out what you're here to do. It's figuring out your destination, where you're going. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. If they do that, then they'll figure out where they're going. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. And this is why is this ayah in the midst of three verses, two before it and one after it, that's longer than the two before it, that talk about siyam, that talk about fasting in Ramadan, because this is what it's going to be. It's going to all come down to this. You're going to fast all day, huh? You're going to break your fast. You're going to come at night when you're tired and you stand in prayer. Why? Because you want, because he's telling you, إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Because he's saying, I am near, just call upon me. I am listening and I'll respond to you. You're given that opportunity, so you turn to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the whole point of the month of Ramadan is. Let's move on to 190. Can someone recite 190 for me?
وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ.
So I wanted to point out this verse because it's important in the Quran. When you're reciting the Quran from the beginning, from Fatiha and just moving down, the first time you will come across the concept of combat in the Quran. This is something that is talked about in the Quran. Jihad is striving. That's a whole different concept altogether. It's an umbrella word. Qital is combat. It's very specific. It's a very specific type of jihad. The first time that you will run into this verse in the Quran is in Ayah 190 in Surah Al-Baqarah. Listen to the wording itself. so you understand what your deen is based on. So that no one should own your narrative, by the way, as a Muslim. As a Muslim, you should own your own narrative. You should know what your Quran says. You should know what it is that you stand for, what you believe in, and what represents you as a human being, as a Muslim. And don't take it from from secondary sources or from those who read the Quran. If you just start reading from the beginning, the first time you come across the word combat in the Quran, وَقَاتِلُوا, you come through Ayah 190. What does he say? وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ, and fight for the sake of Allah those who fight you. وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا, and do not transgress. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ, indeed Allah does not love those who transgress. What about that verse would you need to hide? What about that ayah would you be embarrassed of? Or ashamed of, or not willing to share with the world around you? What about that ayah should not fill you with confidence, make you feel that you belong to something? He's telling you, what, fight for the sake of Allah. Those who fight you, those who bear arms against you, you defend yourself, and you do not transgress. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love those who transgress. Inna Allah la yuhibbu al-mu'tadin. I think it's a beautiful thing to kind of point out as the first time this is going to be talked about in the Quran, will be talked about in that manner. We still have a little time. Great. Ayah 201. Can someone do that for me?
وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ.
Allah. At the end of the verses of Al-Hajj, again, Al-Hajj is not talked about anywhere else. Al-Hajj أَشْهُرٌ مَعْلُومَاتٌ. And then you go to the antibun al-hajj wal-umrata lillah, the beginning, you go through the verses of hajj. It's really not talked about outside of Surah al-Hajj later on. And it's not really talked about in terms of our ritual. It's talked about as the general ritual of pilgrimage, meaning going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The concept, not the actual ritual. So it's a little bit different. But the ritual of hajj as one of the five pillars of Islam is talked about only in this part of the surah, and this part of the Quran, in the Surah al-Baqarah. And at the end of these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, once you're done your rituals, فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ وَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا, and then engage in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just the way you used to engage in the remembrance of your forefathers. Just like everyone is very proud of their fathers and spoke of their tribes and spoke of their, just like you used to do that, how about you engage in remembrance of your Lord a little bit more, because it's more meaningful. فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. Many people will walk around saying, oh Allah, I want this and I want this, and all they're asking for is dunya. All they can think about is dunya. I want a better job, I want more children, I want this achievement, I want this status, I want this wealth, I want... All this person can think about is just dunya and dunya and dunya and... وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. And يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, the hereafter, there's nothing waiting for this person. There's nothing waiting for this person because they never cared enough. They never asked for anything in akhirah. They weren't looking at their lives as investments for akhirah. They were seeing themselves as just, I want things set up nicely now. I want it all set up perfectly now. Can I get it set up now? I want this to be, and they keep on asking, and they get, some of them get everything they ask for. وَمِنْهُمْ, but on the other side, on the other hand, مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. اللهم آمين. This is the dua the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would make. This is a Quranic dua. Make this dua every day. Just like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, make this dua every day. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, in this life, hasana, something beautiful. Al-hasan, anything that is hasan is beautiful. Hasanul wajh, meaning it has a beautiful face. Hasanuhu, they beautified it. Al-ihsan is excellence, right? This is the root of the word. So, fi dunya hasana, I want something beautiful in dunya. I'm not asking for anything specific. I'm not hung up on one specific thing. I want you to give me that which is beautiful in dunya. Whatever that may be in your eyes, Ya Allah. Whether I see it at the moment as beautiful or not, it's okay. If it is beautiful, then give it to me and allow me to see the beauty within it. And then fil akhirah, also give me that which is beautiful. Because I can tell you Jahannam is not. Because it's not too difficult yawm al-qiyamah. The distinction on the Day of Judgment is straightforward. There's beauty and there's the opposite of beauty. In every sense of the word, by all measures, Yawm al-Qiyamah, there's one thing that is beautiful in every way, and the other, that is the opposite of beauty in every way. And dunya, a little bit more complicated. A little bit more complicated, I think, I'm sure you would agree. It's not easy sometimes to figure out what's beautiful in dunya, because the lens that we wear doesn't allow us to see things for what they actually are. And the nafs is very good at fooling us, to make us think something is actually valuable when it isn't. And it's good at making us see something that is extremely valuable not to be. And we end up walking this life valuing that which has no worth and forgetting and taking for granted that which is right in front of us, that is the most valuable thing that we have. So you ask Allah for hasana in dunya, something that is beautiful. Ya Rabbi, beautify it for me so I can see it as a hasana. And then give me a hasana on the day of judgment. And then what? Waqini adab an-nar. And then protect me from the punishment that occurs on the day of judgment. Allahumma ameen. This is excellent. 214. This is amazing. Someone has it?
Am hasibtum an tadkhulu al-jannata walamma ya'tikum. ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله ألا إن نصر الله قريب.
This is one of a few verses in the Quran that starts in a very, very difficult way. Am hasibtum, or did you think, or did you honestly think, or honestly believe, an tadkhulu al-jannah, that you're going to enter this place of beauty, this place of excellence. You think you're going to enter it. Walamma ya'tikum, mathalu al-ladhina khalaw min qablikum, and you're not going to have and go through the difficulties that the nations before you went through. Is what you thought? It's a rhetorical question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking. He's asking because, yes, many of us do. Many of us, Ya Rabbi, ij'alna abida ihsanin la abida imtihan. Say ameen. But there's no way around this. There's no way around the fact that Jannah, to get there, there's going to be some obstacles on the way. وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, and you're not going to go through what the people before you went through that earned it. Those who in the eyes of Allah, you can never earn it. When the eyes of Allah were deserving of it, you think you're going to deserve it like them without going through something similar to what they went through. But what did they go through? مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا. Sadness came to them. بَأْسَاء. ضَرَّاء. Difficulty came to them. They were afflicted by grief and agony and pain. They were afflicted by difficulty and challenges and obstacles and misfortunes. وَزُلْزِلُ, when they were shook to their core. حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, until the Prophet, the Prophet who is amongst them, and those who follow him, they turn and say, when is the victory of Allah? They're not objecting. They're not doubting its arrival. They're just wondering when it's going to come. Because it's getting pretty hard. And they're holding on with all their might and they feel that they don't have much left to give. There's not much left. When is it coming? Ala inna nasrallahi qareeb. It's near. When? It's near. Why is it near? Why is it near? Some of the prophets died. Some of their followers died. Sometimes victory doesn't come until there's nothing left of you in your grave. It's not your son or your son's son. It's probably your third grandson that will see it. But that's still near. Why? Because it's not about time. It's about its source. Source of victory. Where does it come from? The source is Allah. Is Allah far or is He near? The source of victory is near. Nasrullahi qareeb, because the victory is near because its source is near. Time is different. Time, you may get it. You may get it exactly when you want it. You may not. You may not see it in your lifetime. Think about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Didn't really see the empire of Islam the way that we know it. He wasn't around for that. When you look at other prophets like Zakariya and Yahya, they weren't around for the spreading of the message. They just didn't live that long. But it doesn't matter. The question, the answer for the question, Mata Nasrullah, when is the victory of Allah? The answer is it's near. Why? Because its source is near. Because the source of victory is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's near. He'll bring it anytime He wants. It's just not, that's really not our place. It's not our place. Our place is we're here to do our job. We're here to persevere and strive as ba'sa and dharra and zalzala occur to us, as we go through the difficulties and the sadness and the pain and the agony, and as we are shook sometimes, do not believe that your faith, your journey with your deen is going to be this smooth sliding, smooth sailing. Do not believe that. That's not possible. Someone who comes to me and says, "Yani, I have a faith crisis." No, there's no such things as a faith crisis. If you're a Muslim, you're going to be shook down to your core, to the core of everything that you've got. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow you to hold on to this deen until you prove that you will hold on to it regardless of what's going to happen to you. Huh? Am hasibtum an tadkhulul jannah? Or you thought this is going to be a walk in the park. Or you thought Jannah was going to just come to you. Well, you're not going to go through what happened before. No, it's not possible. It's not possible. This is one of the scariest verses in the book of Allah. By far, one of the most difficult verses in the book of Allah. There are similar ones that will come, that exist in Ali Imran and in Surah Al-Ankabut later, but this is the heaviest and the most clear of all of them. He asks you this rhetorical question. If that's what you thought, you were wrong. That's not how this is going to work. You say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, then you're going to have to stand your ground. Then as Ba'sa and Dharra and Zalzala come your way, you're going to have to stand your ground and to prove your worth. And you may come to a moment when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the proximity of it. Or you wonder when it's happening. And then you're reminded, Nasrullahi Qareeb. It's close, whenever he wants. It's right, very near. Whenever he chooses it to be subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be. Instead of focusing on what he needs to do, we focus on what we have to do. And I'll end with that, inshallah ta'ala, as we run out of time. I hope that was a benefit for you, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdik, shalom, la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu bi khairin wa barakatuh.